And now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. In these tough times, frugal is the new black. Glamorous types who used to flaunt Barney's bags and laugh at leftovers are now card-carrying recessionistas. Kelly Marageous's reaction, hey, get off my turf. Brown bag lunches aren't trendy, they're common sense. In an op-ed in yesterday's Washington Post, she complained, if you need to be told that packing your lunch saves money, you're probably not someone who needs to pack your lunch. The fact that they're jumping onto the penny-pinching bandwagon just at the moment when we really need them to spend makes the recessionista trend particularly painful. If you've seen examples of what some call recessionista behavior, give us an example. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And you can get into the conversation at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Kelly Marageous is writer and editor in New York City, and she joins us from our bureau there. My apologies for mangling your name for the first time, and nice of you to come in today.
Thank you for having me.
And recessionista is a spinoff, I guess, from the term fashionista, but I would assume this is a gender-neutral behavior.
That's correct. Yes, it's definitely men and women doing this.
And give us some examples that you've seen.
Oh, let's see. Particularly, it's been reported a lot about people rewearing clothes that have been in their closet before. Eating leftovers, which seems like a normal thing to do and not something that we should bemoan, but people are doing that. Those are big ones. Talking about restaurant reviews, tasting menus for the reasonable price of $150, you know, down from $300, what a bargain. It's a little hard to stomach.
In fact, you cite an example of the in terms of the lunch that just a couple of years ago, people made fun of those bringing in Tupperware.
That's right. I was in a meeting at work when my boss literally said something about those weird little people who heat up their Tupperware in the microwave at lunchtime. And so it was something that you really – being frugal was something that so many people had done for a long time, but either felt the need to hide it or to own it. And so now the fact that people who made fun of them – are owning it themselves and parading it, that seems to be where some problems are coming out. Some resentment, class resentment is arising.
For example, you write about the idea of, well, it's time to shop in your own closet.
Right, right. But that's getting dressed. You pick out a shirt, you put on a pair of pants, you know, you mix and match, you find a skirt you haven't worn in a while, you wear it with a different pair of shoes. It's not really shopping.
It's not really shopping. And in fact, the other part of this, we're told that, look, the economy's not going to recover until people start shopping again. These are the very people who still have money.
Right. That's where the tricky part comes in. Everyone needs to look out for themselves and make sure that they do have savings. But if you do have those savings, you should be spending them. You shouldn't be jumping on this, as I call it, penny-pinching bandwagon. It's very difficult.
Indeed, one of the other examples you gave in your piece was catching a segment on the local TV news about how to save money but still look fabulous. The reporter was suggesting, well, I used to save up for Christmas this way.
Layaway. That's right. It's, but, you know, it's not a party. People have been using layaway for years and have needed it. And it's not something fun to do. You know, it works for necessities. It's great for the people who need it. But I don't understand why this is a money-saving tip. If people need to do that, they already know about it. So it's interesting that this advice seems to be for the people who don't really need it. And I think that's where it's not lining up. It's so funny to see what this advice is because you think, well, of course people eat leftovers. And then you find out they don't eat leftovers. And that's where the anger starts to come in, I think.
The idea that these people are distressed because they had to sell their second house.
Exactly. Right. Or live on $500,000 a year.
To be fair, some of these people are encountering difficulties for the first time. And some of those difficulties are very real.
Absolutely. That's where the line is hard. I mean, there are subtleties with this. And everyone's experience is different. But I guess it does apply more to the people who do have the money. You know, as annoying as it was to hear about people drinking gold and caviar encrusted cocktails, it's now even more annoying to hear those people talk about not doing that anymore and having to drink $15 drinks instead.
Going all the way down market to $15 drinks.
Exactly. Exactly it.
Let's get some listeners in on the conversation. Our guest is Kelly Mourages, who wrote the op-ed, "I'm Not Buying Recession Chic," in the Washington Post. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you've seen some examples of recessionista behavior, give us a phone call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Janine with us from Birmingham, Alabama.
Hi, Neil. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, Janine.
And I appreciate Kelly's comments. My husband and I moved to Atlanta about 5 years ago when I went to seminary to go into ministry. And we ended up moving from, like, I was in IT and he was in publishing as a graphic designer, to basically me having a part-time job and being at school and him looking for a job for, like, 3 months. And that really curtailed our lifestyle, which we've sort of kept that lifestyle since then. And the thing that amazes me is when you read something in, like, a magazine like Real Simple, where somebody suggests, oh, my God, you can wash out your plastic bags and reuse them again. Or, you know, actually bringing your lunch to work is somehow this radical new lifestyle. And the thing that we always talk about is, if this is something we've been doing all this time for years and years now, and we're solidly middle-class people, what exactly is the lifestyle of other Americans that suddenly this is a new and amazing idea?
Exactly. You know, that's what's coming to light is how people have been living and how it hasn't been even in ways that most people couldn't even imagine.
And you'd think that in the course of all this, you'd see a resurgence of cobbler stops where you could at least get your shoes resold.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you can actually reuse things, that you look for sale items, that you don't shop everything full. I mean, these are like things that people are suddenly, a whole new world has opened up to them. And while on the one hand, that's great, I guess, in terms of being a recycler economy, on the other hand, it's like this kind of spiritual problem to me, because suddenly these people just now understand that this is a choice for a lot of people every day of their lives. I mean, it's very puzzling to me. And when I hear people sort of going on and on about it, I kind of just nod my head and smile and go, okay, well, obviously this is something new for you to try. And I don't believe it'll last. I think when the fat times come again, I don't think this is going to be part of the American dialogue again.
Yeah, Janine's point is a good one, Kelly, that trends are trendy and then something else is a trend.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what happens as we start to come out of the recession. In some ways, you don't want to be as luxurious a culture, as decadent a culture as we had been. And I think Janine's point was a good one, that you know, people will recycle, people will reuse, but let's see how far this goes once we come out of the recession.
Janine,
right.
Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, Neil.
So long. Let's see if we can go now to Tom, and Tom's with us from Lynchburg, Virginia.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm very well, thanks.
I feel guilty. For 30 years, I've ruined family dinners because I drove a Honda. I lived in small houses, and I said that they would rue the day that they bought their SUVs and lived in oversized houses.
And so now you're wearing a big guilty. You're now wearing a big sign around your neck, Tom, that says "I told you so."
It is. It's Schadenfreude, but I think maybe I be careful what you ask for, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Indeed, but to some degree, you think these people help bring it on themselves.
Yes, they do. And well, I haven't been vindicated. And the thing is, if I didn't have children, I wouldn't be concerned about the future. I've had a good life myself, but I am concerned about the future for my children because I still live very frugally, and I'm self-employed, and I take good care of myself. But I'm concerned about the world that we're sending our children into.
And have your children
been so based on materialism?
I was just going to say, have your children rebelled by buying a gigantic Cadillac Escalades?
Oh no, well they're not grown yet.
Well, just wait, Tom. Good luck to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
All right, bye bye. Let's see if we can go to this is Scott. Scott, with us from Ypsilanti in Michigan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
I wanted to agree with you where you had made the comment that we're at a point where we really need people with the resources to spend them. You know, I see all these articles in all sorts of media, you know, top 10 ways to save money, and guaranteed in the top 10 is cutting out going out to eat and extracurriculars for the kids. And I'm a professional cook, and I need people to go out to eat. Since about November, I've lost all of my overtime, and my wife teaches piano to bring in extra money, and she's lost at least half of her students. And we are now at a point where our cost of living is higher than our income. There's nothing left to cut out of the budget, and we're looking at having to move in with my in-laws.
Right. Ouch. To be fair, that was Kelly Moragis' point that I was repeating, so she's the one who came up with it, but it doesn't make her any less right.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I need, you know, we're seeing a lot of low-dollar sandwiches and split plates. I work at a middle-to-high-end restaurant, and we really need people to be coming in and, you know, spending $150 a person on dinner, because this is what, you know, pays all our cooks, who only make anywhere from $10 to $14 an hour to begin with.
And you're in the back of the house, but I wonder if you've heard stories about changes in behavior in the front of the house.
Absolutely. Our servers used to average, you know, about $20 to $25 an hour, all said and done, with as many hours they work and their tips they bring in. And now they've dropped to about $15 an hour. They're starting to hurt as well.
Is that due to lower business or just people tipping less?
People are tipping less, and we're seeing a lot lower check averages.
And
as well, even though people are still tipping 20% on their check, they're spending half as much as they were.
Lesser bottle of wine, perhaps.
Exactly.
And are you getting more requests for doggy bags?
We have always offered to send people home with their leftovers, but yes, that has also gone up.
All right. Interesting. Scott, thanks very much for the call, and good luck.
Thank you. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
We're talking on the opinion page this week to Kelly Moragis about her op-ed, "I'm Not Buying Recession Chic." You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And as you listen to those comments, I think that one by Tom, the chef, is absolutely right. People like him, these are a lot of businesses are on the brink.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point. If it's a trend, you know, if it's about making a point, if it's about being frugaler than thou, it needs to stop. You know, people need to get back out and support the people who need their support when they need it.
So if you've got it, flaunt it.
Unfortunately, right now, yes.
Well, let's see if we get another caller on the line. This is James. James calling from Charlotte.
Yes, hi.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a couple comments to say, but then I heard what this caller before me said. You know, I feel sorry for him. He's only down to $15 an hour, considering the fact that I have been on $15 an hour for the last few years. and I seem to be doing okay. I've also been a person who's carried my lunch back and forth to work. I'm also a person who does my mother clean. She's always washed the bags, the sandwich bags. Also, I cook, and during the week, I mean on the weekends, enough food to carry me all the way through lunch through the week. I mean, I've always been this way. I mean, I don't see what the new thing is on this. And if he's hurting that bad, going down to $15 an hour, I mean, like I say, I've been doing this for years.
Well, Kelly, everybody's expectations, if your rent and your mortgage and your school bills and things like that are predicated on the belief you're going to be making $15 an hour or more, and then you're not, well, that becomes a problem. But nevertheless,
that means he's put himself in an excess. He shouldn't be in that excess.
Well, anyway.
Right. Yeah, it's difficult. It's all about levels. I think, if anything, this trend is making clear that we're not all speaking a common language. We're all at different levels. And so it depends.
Well.
Right.
But the kind of things James is talking about, again, this is not rocket science. This is common sense. This is stuff your mother taught you.
Exactly.
Right. I think that's what I'm trying to say right there.
Yeah. Okay, James. Thanks very much. And let's go to Chris. And Chris is with us from Eureka, California.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, what I've noticed is that there's a lot more people in shopping in the thrift stores.
A lot more people shopping in the thrift stores than they used to the Goodwill, for example?
Right, yeah, St. Vincent de Paul, Goodwill. And I've been shopping at them for 40 years, and there's just more competition now.
And is it a little like, describe what it's like. I mean,
it used to be like a private club where people that were in the know would get good stuff at thrift stores, and nowadays there's all the amateurs are in there now.
Amateurs, you can spot the
right.
newbies. You can spot them.
Yeah, it's they're looking, wandering around in the daze, and they don't know what the layout of the store is, you know, stuff like that.
Well, they'll learn quickly.
Yeah, they will.
All right. Thanks very much, Chris.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. I guess we haven't seen fights yet over the bargain basement, the Goodwill store's blouse rack, but I guess that's coming, Kelly.
That's right. You know, you're used to seeing those storied fights over luxury goods sales, but I think maybe we'll be seeing them everywhere now.
And if psychology is an important part of getting out of this recession, mm-hmm. obviously people are being urged to spend money. Well, nevertheless, that's a hard thing to do if you're uncertain about what's going to be coming down the pike.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the tricky part here. And it's hard to say what the solution is. I certainly don't know that. I don't know if anyone does. But in terms of this, it's kind of about identity. I think all the callers calling in, they identify with the way they grew up, with the way they've been living. And so it's interesting to see, like Chris said, you know, that it was about a club. You know, it felt like a club that he knew about, the thrift shop, and now everyone else knows about it. It's just interesting to see that.
Kelly Moragis, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Kelly Moragis wrote the op-ed, "I'm Not Buying Recession Chic," in yesterday's Washington Post. We have a link to it at npr.org/talk. And she joined us today from our bureau in New York. And we thank her for her time. And, well, happy shopping, everybody. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.